You are listening to Miller and Moulton, exclusively on the Florida Sports Network. And now, here's Mark Miller and David Moulton.
And just like that, fast-moving show on this hump day as we get over it together. And our third and final hour along the network always begins with one Seth Everett. He of Sports with Friends and Hall of Justice, two terrific, successful long-running podcast. You can follow him on X at Seth_Everett. Do you notice the change that we made? No more Twix. We're just going straight to it. It's time to get with the times, Seth.
Did Elon send you a letter?
No, nothing. Check marks. No, nothing. It's just a vernacular. That's all. Trying to sound as if we're somewhat current.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you guys sound very current. I always said that about you guys.
Right. You come here every week so that you can get back with the times, right?
That's right. That's right.
How fired up do you get for the madness? You're a Syracuse guy. Basketball was king at that school. I know they're not in the tournament, but do you get fired up for the madness?
You know, it's funny. I generally, whenever Syracuse loses, I kind of stop watching. I'll put it on Thursday and Friday because I think those days are spectacles. I'm very curious to see Adam Zucker. He's a buddy of mine. He's going to be filling in for Greg Gumbel this year.
Yep.
And I'm wishing Adam the best and good luck and all that stuff. I'm sure he'll do wonderful. I'm also interested to hear Andrew Catalan gets two rounds this year.
And he's your buddy.
That's a buddy of mine. And Ian Eagle's going to do the Final Four. So I'm into it from that standpoint. But, you know, I'll be perfectly honest with you. For about 20 years, if Syracuse loses in the first round or if they go to the Final Four, that's the level of how much I watch this thing. I'll tune it out.
Oh,
really,
that's
fast.
A shame. That's a shame that you're.
I have trouble when I don't have a horse in the race. There's only a few sports that I can watch where if I don't have a team to care about, I don't care.
What are those now, Seth?
I'm not John's this year or Seton Hall.
What sports are you left to watch?
All schools that I've been employed by.
Because do you watch hockey other than the Devils? And I'm being serious.
Hockey's different.
Have you lost your sports fandom and put it into singular teams now?
No, hockey and football and NFL are the only sports that I can watch where I don't have a team, you know, rooting. But I can't watch, soccer. I can't. I have to have a reason. I have to have a hook. I'm interested to see Iowa on the women's side. And if Iowa plays South Carolina, I think that's pretty remarkable. I'm curious to see that. I think South Carolina is going to wipe the floor with them. But I've seen South Carolina play. They're pretty darn good. That's what's gripping. I'm very curious to see what the men's rating does compared to the women's rating. I think that's interesting. And I do think the whole thing about the all-star team that is pulled out of the NIT is curious. Why is the transfer portal open now when your biggest basketball event's going on at the same time? Delay that portal and get these teams to play in the NIT.
Well, there's no doubt about that. They should push it back 2 weeks at the very least. 3 weeks and the season would be completely over, including teams in the Final Four. But, I mean, if you push it back 2 weeks, then all but four teams are done with their season. You could open it then, and obviously nobody's transferring off of a Final Four team, at least not for another week, and the window's open long enough where you could even transfer after your team goes to the Final Four. So it is absurd. But, Seth, I think it's more than just the portal as to why teams are saying no. I think, much like in college football, where it's all about the playoff and everything else doesn't matter, I think college basketball for a long time has been trending towards its NCAA tournament or your season sucks. And so these kids, I think, the coaches don't want to coach in them. The kids don't want to play in them. Okay, some of these schools that said no, they coaches put it up to a vote to the players. The players went, nah, we're done.
Yeah.
We're done.
Yeah, you know, when Syracuse lost in the ACC tournament to NC State, you know, NC State wound up winning 5-5, for the first time ever. That was pretty cool. They lose, it's fine. They lost. And Adrian Autry, I thought, was being very genuine when he said, I'd love to be in the NIT. I'd love to keep this going. And so everybody assumed, and there was about a 45-minute stretch when the announcement came out that Syracuse wasn't selected, And there was like, what did that happen? How could this be? What's wrong with this committee? And blah, blah, blah. It was all the people that were screaming about Indiana State and St. John's and all this other nonsense. And all this stuff was going on. And then it was revealed that Syracuse had politely, quietly requested, please don't include us. Why? Why would you not continue your season? And the only answer that I was able to ascertain was the portal.
That's it.
I'm sorry. I hate this portal so much. I'm not debating its merit. I understand why it exists. As a fan, I despise this thing almost as much as I hate interleague play.
How are you on free agency?
Free agency's fine, but college athletes, every player on the roster is a free agent at the end of every season.
Yeah, because their scholarship's only 1 year, Seth.
There's no continuation of anything. It's stupid.
Okay. Would you at least then acknowledge what if colleges changed the scholarship where the scholarship was more? Because every scholarship is a year-to-year thing. I mean, it really is. Sure. It's easy to run off a player. I know they're under scholarship, but if you want to run off a guy or a gal, it's pretty easy to do.
Yeah, Syracuse did it this year. Williams was the guy they kicked off the team.
But then, Seth, then how can you not have a transfer portal if the scholarships are all one-year deals?
I understand that, but then there has to be some kind of penalty.
Why?
To give the incentive.
There's no penalty to the school.
No penalty to a coach, at least.
No. What I'm saying is have it cost something.
What? Why? Saying.
Cost whom?
Because the way they're doing it now stinks.
Cost whom, Seth? The player?
The player. The player.
You're serious.
What I'm saying, okay, I want this to be clear. I understand the portal. I understand the validity of the portal. I'm saying as a fan, it is dumb. As a fan, it is a turn off.
Okay.
And this tournament.
We'll give you that.
So that's my argument.
Okay.
My argument is the portal stinks. So now you're telling me you're taking the NIT away.
Well, the NIT doesn't matter, though, Seth.
No. But my point is you're trying to garner a fan. A fan. Think about these schools that turned down the NIT. They're all schools that could benefit from having one or two, albeit small, postseason games. And they're not because of why? The portal? This portal that has taken so that every coach at the end of every season in every sport has to then go to his own roster and beg them to stay. That's embarrassing. It's stupid.
So okay. Would you offer four-year scholarships then?
No, I'm not saying I have the solution. What I'm saying is, as a fan, since they introduced this portal, college sports have gotten dumb.
Okay, so you're speaking just completely as a fan. This is hurting your experience. You don't have a solution, though. You're just saying this.
Oh, I never said I did. Right. It's a messy, slippery slope. I get it. I understand why they did it. I understand how they introduced it. I'm all for the name, image, and likeness. I get all of it. But what the portal has done is it's taken all forms of continuity out of the sport, and from a fan standpoint, it has made it less desirable.
Okay. I think we can go with you with that. I just don't know how or if we can ever change it. Like you mentioned, I think, trying to find a way to limit player movement.
I wish it cost something. That's what I'm saying. In the old way, it was if you wanted to transfer,
you had to
lose a year, and that was a big loss. I wish there was some kind of a cost. Maybe I shouldn't have used the word penalty, but I think there should be some kind of cost to transferring, that it shouldn't just be, oh, some guy down the road offered me $100,000 NIL thing. Bye. and it's not a Syracuse thing. This is all over. And any market that is a college market where that's the biggest thing, you can't sell jerseys.
True. How about this, though? Don't you think then, to be, quote, fair, unquote, that there then needs to be some cost to the program if they run a kid off?
Sure.
Okay. So you're at least willing to go it the other way.
I'm not trying to be unfair, and I'm not trying to be pro or anti-player. I understand the player, but what has happened is you gave an inch and these players take a mile. And I've seen some of the reasons that players have said that they left.
Well, they don't have to have a reason anymore.
But that's point.
They did up until about 2 years ago. Now you can just raise your hand and say, I'm out of here.
I'm out of here.
Right.
I'm out of here. Sorry. See you later. I'll do something on Instagram. Bye.
Now
it's lame.
Now, we're curious because you said your NFL fandom has not been affected, and that is a league that is a bunch of one-year scholarships, basically.
Sure.
All right.
Professional,
so,
though.
Okay. So, what if the college athlete becomes an employee? Would that change?
Talk to me then.
Okay. All right.
I think there's a better chance of hell freezing over, but, you know, we'll see.
Which is funny because Miller and Moulton think it's going to happen before the decade's out.
Maybe.
It's either that or a revenue share. They got to figure out something.
Something.
Because there's too much money involved, and the players deserve their fair share of it. There's no two ways about it.
Fair. That's totally fair.
In fact, Seth, we think the solution's going to be Major League Baseball because we don't think the schools will ever agree to a salary cap because the big boys will always want to be able to have the advantages over everybody else. Okay, so that's why it won't become hockey, basketball, or the NFL, that they'll never agree to a salary cap, if you know what I mean, but that they'll make them employees to be able to restrict them in ways right now the courts are not restricting them.
Because that's going so well.
Exactly.
Let's definitely model that that blueprint.
Right. All right. Sports with Friends Hall of Justice. Go.
Sports with Friends is a gentleman that folks in Fort Myers may be familiar with, Ronnie Night Train Lane. He has, for the last 10 years, been the afternoon host on WDAE Sports Radio in Tampa. And next week, he is leaving that show to host a Rays show at night before games and an extensive Tampa Bay Bucks coverage. Why would someone do that? That's the podcast. I asked him that very, very question. The whole thing didn't make sense to me, but after talking to him, now I get it. So Ronnie Lane on Sports with Friends. And Hall of Justice is Mike Carlin Part 3. Last week we had Part 2. It was all about animation. We couldn't get through all the films in a normal time, so we did the rest of the conversation with Mike Carlin on the Hall of Justice. Next week, by the way, Garth Ennis, one of the longtime comic creators, created The Boys. Garth Ennis next week, but Mike Carlin this week.
He's Seth Everett, Sports with Friends Hall of Justice of the two terrific podcasts. Follow him on X at Seth_Everett. Seth, all the best. We'll talk next week.
You're listening to Miller and Moulton, only on the Florida Sports Network. And now, here's Mark Miller and David Moulton.
Been a fun show today. Last hour, we talked with Lee Sterling. He's got Texas A&M going on a run. He's got Creighton in the Final Four. Hell, he's got him playing for a national title. And then we just had a pretty animated conversation with Seth Everett. And we kept it respectful, but he says this transfer portal is affecting his fandom in a big way.
I question his fandom. Seth has lost his sports fandom. We've been doing this with Seth for a long time. And I love Seth's input on the media world, the crossover from streaming. Seth is very knowledgeable about what he does. I'll never dispute that. But Seth's fandom has waned.
Well, and he admitted, he said, except really for two sports. He goes, he's all in all year long on hockey and NFL. But everything else, unless he's got a dog in the fight, he's just like, okay.
And I get it. Because with the teams that I've rooted for my whole life are slumping, like for a decade.
Right.
It's been hard for me to watch the NBA because I don't have it. You know, the Pistons are so bad that it's tough to even watch. In fact, impossible to watch them play. Sorry, Trent.
I get it.
You know, hockey I stuck with, but hockey's more fun this year because the team I root for is fighting for a playoff spot. I mean, I was game on with a lot of interest last night, texting my son, texting my buddy, you know, very negative things about the team down 2-0. came out, David.
Well, I'm glad you went Nuggets, because now it's time for Trent Crunch the Numbers Bally as we get ready for the madness, which begins in full in a little more than 24 hours. How many pages is the research paper now?
We trimmed it down a bit. It's at 13.
Wait a minute. It was 14. I thought you said it was going to 20.
Well, I'm not going to lie. I made the font a little smaller, tried to, you know, condense things a little bit.
So you're cheating, in other words, to make yourself look better. Okay, that's fine, as long as you acknowledge it and, you know, in front of the class. Okay, listen, here's what I want. When I order nuggets, I order 20 of them, and I get two different sauces. Because then I eat 10 with one and 10 with the other. I feel like I've had two meals.
Just curiosity, do you eat all 10? Let's just say it's barbecue and honey mustard. Do you eat the 10 with one and then the 10 with the other, or do you go back and forth?
No, you know me, Mark. Once I start on a food group on my plate, I devour that entire food group.
Right, but this is the same. The nugget is the same
food.
So
I do not mix and match. No. I do 10 of one, and then I do 10 of the other. Right. That's my eating, you know, OCC there or whatever it is. All right. So that's what I want. If you're going to give me nuggets here, Bally, okay, I want a 20-piece. Go.
So, in honor of the first four here, since the first four began in 2011, 11 of those 12 years, we've had a team from the first four advance to the round of 32. So we talk about how the extra game could play into, you know, it could play an advantage for some of these teams. Just keep an eye on that. I think Colorado State is a viable opponent.
So what you're saying is pick one of these two 10 seeds to win a game.
Yes, because we know the 16 most likely won't.
Right.
I mean, 99% chance. So keep an eye on the 10 seeds that were in the first four.
And what do we have tonight? Colorado and Boise, right?
Correct.
Yeah, so Colorado State, who won last night, they're going to play Texas. And the winner of tonight's game plays
gets the
Florida.
Gators, right?
Right.
And I like Florida, so for what it's worth, I would lean, if you're going to go with one of those teams,
let's go Rams.
Go with the Rams. Here's another one for you. Three straight tourneys, we've seen a 15 seed upset a 2 seed. So it's happened 3 years in a row, and all of those said 15 seeds have made the Sweet 16. You had Princeton last season, St. Peter's the year before, Oral Roberts the year before that. A 15 seed has not only upset a 2, they've then upset the 7 or 10 in the round of 32 to go to the Sweet 16.
I do have a 2-15 first round upset.
Which one is it? You got Marquette losing?
I was going to hold that till tomorrow.
All right, hold it till tomorrow. Right, that's a tease right there, folks. That's a professional tease right there. I'll give it to you tomorrow. Tune back in 24 hours.
Here's a big one. At least one 12 seed has upset a 5 seed in 32 of the last 38 seasons. I'm not really sure why that was the cutoff, but that's what I found. The trend did not occur in 2015, 2018, or 2023 last season. So maybe the trend is slowly dying, but this year, I mean, the way the bracket is, there's a lot of viable 5s and 12 upsets.
Okay, for the record, UAB's the 12 against San Diego State. Grand Canyon's the 12 against St. Mary's. James Madison is the 12 against Wisconsin, and McNeese State is the 12 against Gonzaga. So they put two 12s up against the two teams from the WCC.
And a down year for the WCC. Only two teams in, and Gonzaga, the usual suspect, did not win the conference tournament. St. Mary's with the auto. So here's another one. At least one 7 seed has reached the Final Four in 9 of the last 10 tournaments. So 9 of the last 10 years, there's been a 7 seed or higher that has made the tournament.
Or
made the
higher.
Final Four. Yes.
Gotcha.
Now that bodes into Lee Sterling, who was on the show earlier, picking Texas A&M to go to the Final Four.
And last season we had 2 of them, correct? Because we had FAU.
No, I had 1.
What seed was Miami, a 5?
Miami was a 5, right.
Okay.
FAU was a 9.
Okay, here's another one that I found.
On.
Go ahead.
I'm just curious, Mark, and this is very unlike you. All right. I'm guessing in all those years you haven't accounted for any of that because that's not how you do the bracket.
Hell
I'm
no.
Just curious, a 7 seed or higher, that if you saw that stat, my $20, that you would say, okay, if we're going to have that hold true this year, I'll put it on blank.
I'm not doing this to be a homer, but wouldn't your a safe bet be Sparty? They were preseason top 5.
Sparty, I like the Gators. I mean, you guys know I like the Gators. I know that injury was big, but they've got 3 other guys they can rotate in there.
I mean, Sparty would be high on my list on that one.
All right, fair enough. They're a 9 seed in the West.
A lot of people like New Mexico on the 11 line.
Hey, I think that's a little too trendy to go on that kind of run. I do think they're going to win some games in this tournament, but that's a little too high for me.
Washington State would be another one I would look at. I think they're seated a little off. They were a pretty good Pac-12 team this year. Pac-12 doesn't get a lot of respect anymore. They're a 7 seed.
Okay. What else you got there? Listen, I tell you what, you're at least 10, 12 nuggets into this. Go.
Pump the brakes on the 6 seeds. Not a single 6 seed has made the Final Four since Michigan did it in 1992. So your 6 seeds this season are Texas Tech, BYU, South Carolina, and Clemson. So if you're a fan of one of those teams, I hate to break it to you, no 6 seed has made the Final Four in decades.
I got one of them going to the Sweet 16.
All right. Is it BYU?
Mm-hmm.
Very nice. Here's one for Mark. 12 of the past 16 national champions have been a 1 seed. So, you know, not every year, but 12 out of 16. That's a pretty good number for the ones.
It's good because my Final Four adds up to 6.
As opposed to Lee Sterling, who I think adds up to 14.
Well, yeah. I mean, what was his Final Four again?
We had Creighton. He had 2 ones, Creighton and A&M. So 14. I think you're right.
Couple of quick ones to close the segment, I guess. Only 1 2-seed has made the national championship in the last decade, so maybe chill on Arizona, Marquette, Tennessee, or Iowa State. Those are your 2 seeds this year. And lastly, the 5 line has never produced a national champion. Never. San Diego State made a run to the final last year as a 5 seed, got the doors blown off them. So in case you were thinking about picking a 5 to go all the way and cut down the nets, it's never happened. So...
And the Gators, I believe, Michigan State's one title yes. under Izzo, I believe the Gators were a 5 seed that year.
Correct, 2000.
So they can get to the final game, they just don't win the final game. Look at that. Was that a 20-piece of nuggets right there with Trent Bally?
Totally. Well done.
Mark well Packer, done. Next.
You're listening to Miller and Moulton, only on the Florida Sports Network.
You know, he made the mistake. Made the mistake during the college football season. He said, guys, call me anytime. Okay, so we're taking him up on it. He's Mark Packer, hosts the ACC PM weekdays, 4 o'clock on the ACC Network. You can follow Mark on X. It's really simple. Mark Packer, P-A-C-K-E-R. Mark, it's David and Mark. How you been?
I'm good, but you know I was only kidding during the football season. So
See? All right. Listen, before we talk about yesterday's news, if we can go back almost 72 hours, just your thoughts, and obviously Virginia made the committee and the ACC look bad last night, but your thoughts Sunday night when they unveiled the brackets and what, how'd you think the committee did?
You know, listen, it's a thankless job. We saw it in the football season where I thought they butchered the Florida State deal. Every year, I don't care who the committee puts in the tournament. The dude that's 69, 70, and 71 complains and bitches and moans. And quite frankly, on any given night, team 69, 70, or 71 can win a game, right? I mean, we've watched enough college basketball where, quite frankly, you know, I think there's 35, 40 teams on a given night can beat number one, number two, number three. I mean, we kind of watched it all season. We saw it last weekend. I mean, how many number one seeds lost last week in their conference tournament? I mean, Houston's supposed to be great. I saw them get beat by 100. North Carolina was untouchable. They lose to NC State. Tennessee's the best team in the SEC, and they get smashed in, you know, by Mississippi State. I mean, Arizona's supposed to be a 1 seed. Who'd they lose to? Oregon? I mean, so you know, people are going to go crazy. I always think that everybody should have 24 hours after the tournament's announced. You got 24 hours to gripe, and then we move on. I mean, let's get to the games, and, hey, we've watched basketball for 5 months, and there's always going to be a complaint. And even when we get to this college football playoff expansion to 12, I got news for you. The dude that's 13, 14, and 15 is going to go, how in the world are we not in the dance? I mean, it's just, it's the world that we live in. So, you know, did the committee get it right? I don't know. If you watched Virginia last night, they couldn't beat a Sunday rec league team. But you know what? That's a team that also beat Texas A&M, Florida, and won at Clemson. So, again, welcome to college hoops. It is what it is. And, again, madness will be great. And really, I know we got two more games in Dayton tonight. And maybe Boise State, Colorado will be entertaining. It will be certainly more entertaining than that game last night with Colorado State and Virginia. But the madness will be great. The next 3 weeks will be completely upside down. And we won't worry about who's a 2 seed or an 8 seed or they should have been in or they should have been out. But there'll be so many great games to talk about and laugh about and can't believe the finishes. And it's what makes the next 3 weeks so special.
No doubt, in the next 5 days especially. Mark, obviously, one of the reasons we had you on, Clemson yesterday suing the ACC for the grant of rights deal. Finally, Florida State can look around and say, someone is with us on this one. But just your take on what Clemson did yesterday.
Well, I think Florida State knew from day one there was more than just they weren't the lone wolf here. I think even the last time we all had the same conversation, I think you asked me about are there others in the league, and you know all you got to do is go back to Amelia Island last May when the ACC has their spring meetings, and there were 7 schools at the time, and that's not a thought. I mean, that's a fact that said, hey, we're looking into options of what's out there. So, I mean, I don't think anybody should be surprised by what Clemson did yesterday. They did it completely different than Florida State. I mean, obviously, Florida State with the Sunshine Laws and everything else have been very outspoken and open about their intentions. Everybody else has been a little more tight-lipped. There's an advantage to that, I guess. But to think that Florida State was working by themselves, you'd have to be naive. And if you think it's only Clemson and Florida State, I think you'd be naive on that front too. I think everybody's looking out for their best interest. And again, I said this before, at the end of the day, when you have one team suing a league, much less two, or if not more, it's going to be a rocky road. And to me, it'll end up being a lose-lose proposition for all parties involved, because it's going to cost millions upon millions upon millions of dollars. And in all likelihood, the next couple of years, I think it's going to take a while for all this to get straightened out one way or the other, regardless of how it plays out.
Okay, we know financially it's better if you're in the SEC or the Big Ten than the ACC or the Big 12. But Mark, if you're trying to make the playoff and you're trying to compete for national championships, can't you make the argument that Florida State and Clemson should be pulling the ACC and ESPN to the side and saying, listen, we got to redo the economics, but we'd much rather stay. We got a better chance of competing for what we want if we stay.
Well, I think it's more than just football, David. I think that's the thing. And the other thing, too, is, and listen, at your radio station, if you said, hey, listen, the guy across the street's got a marketing budget that's, $50 million better than ours, but yet we're still kicking butt and doing well. But, man, wouldn't you love to have $50 million just to have some chances to make mistakes where you can fall back on? So, you know, the ACC's not going broke. I think that's gotten lost in all of this. Everybody keeps talking about what the Big Ten and the SEC are making, and good for them. They've obviously positioned themselves well, and the SEC's been great in football, and the Big Ten this past year certainly was. But the ACC isn't going broke. I mean, Clemson's been more than competitive. They won a couple national championships in this college football playoff. They don't have the same budget as Alabama or Georgia or LSU. Does the road to getting to the playoff, is it easier in the ACC? Probably. But, you know, we don't know what 12 is going to look like. You know, that's the other thing. We're getting ready to jump in another deeper end of the pool to see how it plays itself out. I just think everybody wants to kind of, you know, this has been a money grab from the get-go, and it's not just the last couple years when Oklahoma and Texas left the Big 12. This conference realignment thing's been going on for decades. where people have positioned to try to make more money. You know, if you're ESPN, and I work for them, I'll say that up front, they got a great deal with the ACC. You know, so everybody's like, well, hey, shouldn't the ESPN renegotiate with the league? Well, if I'm ESPN, I'm sitting there going, hey, I got an agreement in place. You know, we came to the table and signed this apparent 20-year deal. We feel good about it. We got this new ACC network off the ground, and we're doing our thing. So, I mean, you know, everybody's got their own position with this, David. And I think if you're Clemson and Florida State in particular, where football is so important, you are looking around going, hey, listen, what could we do if we had the same football budget as Bama, LSU, Georgia? You know, could you get better players in this day and age of name, image, and likeness? Could you, you know, make a stadium upgrade, even though Florida State's doing that as we speak? Yeah, you could do all that stuff. But at the end of the day, you still got to get players. You still got to coach them up and win. So, you know, like I said, I think all of this will work itself out one way or the other. But how you get from A to Z, I think it's going to be a rocky road. I really do.
Well, what do you see as the end game for the ACC? Not so much for Clemson, Florida State, and the schools, but where do you see the ACC 5 years from now, Mark?
Well, they're going to take the position that, hey, we're going to see it exactly the way it is now. I mean, you know, you read their quotes yesterday, and Jim Phillips, even when Florida State did their deal, the additions of SMU and Stanford and Cal, you know, I don't know how that's going to work out. I still think that's kind of a weird relationship, but we'll find out how that plays itself out, whether it be football, baseball, basketball down the road. But the ACC is looking to try to survive like everybody else, no different than the Big 12 or what was eventually the Pac-12. So I really don't know how it'll play out 5 years from now. I don't even know what it's going to look like 5 months from now, much less what we're going to be talking about in the year 2029.
What's your audience telling you? Just, are they angry? Are they miffed? Are they concerned? Or, hey, nothing's really happened yet, so they're not, you know, bothered by it?
No, I think, to be honest with you, and I don't even think this is an ACC thing. I think this is a college sports thing. My feel from who people I talk to is we're all kind of concerned about, is this just basically turning into the NFL light? Is this the NBA light? I mean, you know, are we going to get to the point now where, hey, student-athletes are employees? You know, again, if I wanted that, I'd just stick to the NBA. I'd just go watch the NFL. And that, to me, is the biggest concern, is that college sports as a whole, of what we all grew up with, seems like it is a dinosaur. It is no longer in the neighborhood of what we loved about it growing up as a kid or a young adult. And this whole new universe is completely, totally different. And, you know, when guys are sitting there making seven figures in college, and again, I'm all for everybody making as much money as they possibly can. I'm the ultimate capitalist here. It is different, you know, when a guy says, hey, I'm just not in the mood to play this week. Catch you later. That is not the college sports world that we grew up with. And so I think that's a bigger concern as opposed to, hey, what's Clemson and Florida State going to do? Or what's it going to look like with Oklahoma and Texas in the SEC? Or, hey, there's nothing better than an Oregon-Rutgers Big Ten game. You know, it's, I mean, that's kind of where we are. I mean, it's just a different universe, and I think we're all having to adjust to it. But to think that you know exactly how it's going to play out today is crazy, because I think we're in the middle of the mix. We really don't know which direction this thing's going to go. And I can assure you the NCAA has no earthly idea of where this thing's going to go or if they even have a role in anything moving forward. So, like I said, we got a front row seat to something that 50 years from now people will talk about and say, man, remember what happened to college sports during the COVID and that whole era? Because, I mean, really, if you think about where we are in the last 3 years or 4 years in college sports, it feels like that was a million years ago. And I sense that we're probably still in for some more crazy change coming up here in the next couple of years as well.
Mark, what we're trying to figure out is going forward that you could have people in college who truly are just there to play sports. And then you have those that are playing sports, but they want the education. And, you know, is there a way that actually they can go backwards? you know, those that want the education, if you're going to be employees, let's just say we go down that road. Okay, yeah. Well, fine, but you can go to school here, but you got to pay just like everybody else. Okay, and then those that don't want the education, then fine. We don't waste a seat in class and a scholarship on you and resources on you. I mean, I'm just wondering, is that going to get separated also?
I think it will, Dave. I think it's almost going to have to in some respects, because I don't know how you can move forward by multiple sets of rules for a same sport. And I think maybe what we'll eventually get, and it's funny because back when I was doing the old Sirius XM show, I remember 6-7 years ago saying, hey, here's what I think is going to happen. And I said, I think we'll eventually have 50 teams playing college football on the big time level. And people made fun of me. They Packer, if you fall down a flight of stairs, and you know, I still have notes from every show I've ever done, and I've gone back and read those from 6-7 years ago, and I'll be damned, that's exactly that's where we find ourselves today, where I really think we're going to have about, I don't know, 45 to 60 teams that are really committed to big-time football, and they could all be employees for all we know, and maybe there's a completely separate set of universe of people that live like we used to 20 years ago, where, hey, I'm here to get a quality education. I also happen to be able to catch a football or throw a baseball or, you know, make a jump shot, and I can play sports as well. And maybe we have a universe of like the elite superpower teams, which is all the SEC and the Big Ten and whatever they accumulate between now and the next 3 or 4 years. And that's one tier. And then we have another tier of people that are actually student athletes, quote unquote. They go to class and get a degree and also happen to play a sport that you can enjoy. So, you know, maybe we can have a completely different caste system where all of that is happening at the same time, but yet we're all still playing by a different set of rules. Maybe that's eventually where we get to. I mean, who knows? It's anybody's guess at this point in time.
Well, we may call you periodically just to read from the show notes from 5, 7, and 8 years ago, to be honest with you. I have to admit, it sounds fascinating today to go back and read show notes and think about it.
Well, you know, it's funny. I've been doing this for nearly 30 years, and every, whether it be a radio show or a TV show, I have show notes of every single show I've ever done. Guests, what worked, you know, topics that were hot, topics that stunk, callers that were good, whatever. I mean, it's almost like a piece of Picasso art, each show page. But I did that thing. I swear to God, must have been 2017 or 2018. I called it the Pac-Man plan, and I laid it out of what the season would look like. We're going to go to 3 or 4 extra bye weeks, and here we go. I mean, I'm looking at the schedule this year, and I'm laughing, going, that's exactly what I came up with 6, 7, 8 years ago. And I still remember people calling in going, Pac, you have lost your mind. What are you talking about? And I'm like, guys, I can just see it coming because it's mm-hmm. there's just too much money at stake. And lo and behold, here we are. And
All right.
Again, I suspect at some point in time the SEC and the Big Ten. I mean, if you're Greg Sankey in the SEC, you're sitting in a great spot. You're the power broker. You got all the stuff at your disposal. But the one thing you don't want if you're Greg Sankey, you don't want the Big Ten in your backyard.
No doubt.
You don't want Florida State, Miami, and Clemson to be Big Ten schools, or North Carolina. And by the way, North Carolina to me is the missing piece to all of this with the ACC. We talk about Florida State and Clemson all the time. North Carolina is the one that academically works from the Big Ten perspective and their brand in sports.